politics with security.
Let's talk about the biggest conversations.
Made of trustworthy ideas.
Passionately connected
to everyone.
Let's talk
on Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja.
The politics of our nation.
They have that right to protest. You know, there is no need to go there now, start shooting.
The current affairs of our state.
Everywhere we have gone to, the dirt of Abuja is not on the surface.
All at your fingertips on your Let's Talk Station.
95.1. Let's Talk.
Right, this is where we come to the end of the show. Thank you so much for being a part of the Sunny Side. Debbie and I are grateful. Debbie, what would you want to say? What were you thinking
when
I put on your phone?
Laughing. I was
All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow will be Confession Tuesday, yes. So keep your fingers crossed. We're sorry for those of you who couldn't, your messages couldn't get read. You know how the time was really constrained, and then everybody wanted to say everything all at once, and that's not possible. So we'll make it happen again tomorrow. Hopefully we'll have a whole 1 hour in our hands so that we can do what we need to do on the Sunny Conversation. My name is Swat.
And I'm Debbie.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
And stimulating talk.
Stimulating talk.
Nigeria Info. Your number one for talk.
Number one for talk.
Talk.
The facts are glaring.
It's point blank.
It's better to have little than the blessings of God, that you have much more than just no blessings of God.
But people need to see, know, and hear.
When you return that money, you hear the message.
Whatever is not yours, even if you kill yourself, it cannot come. That's my opinion.
So do share the facts on Hard Facts.
Hard Facts.
Hard Facts. With Kimberly, 3 to 6 p.m. Live on 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
This is Hard Facts.
Hard Facts.
Hard Facts.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info.
Alrighty, thank you so much for staying with 95.1 Nigeria Info. Good afternoon, Abuja. Good afternoon to you. I hope that you're having a very pleasant Monday. It's a rainy, rainy day. I woke up with the sound of rain. Everything good. Everything was amazing. But you know, sometimes you come out and you're driving and then you start to see stuff. I'm like, ew. Don't know what to wish for. Rain continue or rain go away. But yeah, we do need the rain. We need all of the weather planned as it is by the Almighty. So it's perfect. But let's be reminded to keep our environment clean. Keep it clean so that it's not an eyesore in this particular season. You know how you get with dirt and the rain and the mud. It can really be unpleasant to look at. So please do the needful, right? Thank you so much. Thank you plenty for staying with Nigeria Info. Great conversation we've had from the morning crossfire show where we had Festus Keyamo join Femi D for the program, to what's happening in Abuja with the mayor and the duo of the Vocal Majesty and Debs on the Sunnyside show. Well, I'll be flying solo, but I'll be here and I know that you're going to keep me company in all the intellectual way possible. Through your contribution, your listening ears, and your comment, I truly will appreciate that you stick with me from now to the end of the show, because I've got great stuff lined up for you on the show today. As usual, we'll keep with tradition, starting off with the big stories, driving conversation, and Emiene Rame will join me for the roundtable. I'll be talking with Emiene via telephone, and then we'll also have Mr. Jide Ojo join us at the 5 o'clock hour to look at issues around universities. Recall that approval were given for more universities to be established, and we're going to look at that, what it means for education. Some people are saying proliferation of university already, looking at it, creating something negative, that too much of it, when we're not funding the ones we have, it's going to be a problem in the near future. But others welcome it. Well, we're going to get Ms. Ojidejo's perspective on this, in spite of the six-month strike. Can you believe that? That this strike is up to... Let me ask the intern in the studio. Can you believe that the strike is up to 6 months now? When it started, you didn't even think for 1 minute that it was going to drag this long.
No, I was thinking it was going to last for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
3 weeks, but every day it gets increasing. Today they suspend, the next day they go on the strike, so.
How does it make you feel?
Really bad, because that stopped a lot of things.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, 6 months into the strike already, and Asu is saying, go and beg federal government. Don't beg us. It's not in our hands at the moment. Federal government is saying, go and talk to us. So, like, everyone is just stuck in the middle as to who do we beg. Show us the right person to beg and we'll be on our knees. That's how bad it has come at this point in time. We need to take education serious. Well, let's go on a very quick break and patch through to our guest, Emiene, who's already waiting, and kickstart the conversation proper. My name is Kimberly Nwachukwu. You can call me Kim. You can call me Oracle. You can call me The Fellow. You can call me OTF. Anyone, you're correct. All right? So here's Michael Bublé with A Beautiful Day, where we get through to our guest.
I don't know why you think that you could help me when you couldn't get by yourself. And I don't know who would ever want to tell the same or someone's dream. Baby, it's fine. You said that we should just be friends while I came up with that line. And I'm sure it's for the best. Will you ever change your mind? Don't hold your breath. Yeah. Take up my time with thinking of our breakup. Then you've got another thing coming your way. Cause it's a beautiful day. Beautiful day. Oh, baby, any day that you're gone away. It's a beautiful day.
All right, Michael Bublé reminding us that it is a beautiful day. Go with that mindset and everything will be A-OK. And yes, I finally got my guest via telephone, Emiene Rame, waiting patiently on the other end of the line to be our guest analyst for the roundtable today. Emiene, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Kim.
Delighted to have you join us on the show.
Delighted to be with you on the show.
Thank you so much. It was pleasant. Sunday was perfect. It was raining all day. Tucked in at home, but
still raining all day today.
I know, right? I'll say not on a Monday. Please rain, go away. But
but that can just be a spoiler.
I know. But it's all good. It's a beautiful day nonetheless. Thank you so much for joining us. You know what, just before we go through to you, we're talking about the IASU strike and the fact that it's 6 months into the strike and IASU is saying beg federal government is saying generational consequences, yet we're still exactly where we were when the strike started 6 months back. And I was asking the intern in the studio what she makes of it and says, terrible, feels really bad. It's disrupted a lot of things. Because, I mean, what do you even do? Even if you intend to get a holiday job, not like there are holiday jobs waiting, because graduates take these holiday jobs that interns should have. You understand how it works. So half the time, these people are just hoping that the strike could be called off the next day and 6 months down the road is gone. Two semesters we're looking at. That's terrible.
Two semesters, yes, 3 months.
Yeah. But well, what do you make of it?
So I think all stakeholders need to sit down concerning the education sector in the country. I'm afraid what the future is for my children.
Mm.
There's already a huge backlog. Do I want them to go to school in Nigeria? No, I don't think so. Not anymore. So every day, the country's leaders find ways of making you less patriotic with their actions and inactions. I remember particularly President Muhammadu Buhari, before he became president, in one of the interviews he granted, seemed to, you know, have the panacea for IASU strike.
Yeah.
And here we are. I think this is the longest.
Well, in 2020, we had 9 months, so this hasn't beaten the record yet. We're inching closer and closer.
No, but 2020, remember, is the year the world practically shut down.
Yeah.
So that can be excused.
There was the strike. It just started the nick of the whole grounding of the world.
But then there was also COVID.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just trying to excuse the past. Yes. I'm just trying to be as lenient as possible. So there was COVID in 2020. But there's no, I mean, the world has since moved on and found out and found ways of living with COVID.
Mm.
So what's the excuse now?
Well, it's a good thing that you mentioned the president and his criticism of the last administration of our ASU.
Yes.
Maybe we should just play a bit of that clip where he said some things about the strike.
If they have 7 billion naira to about, we'll go and negotiate with ASU. And then the teachers' organization or teachers' unions of the tertiary institutions from polytechnics downwards, so that our children should remain in school. Even complement equipment, you know, and other social facilities you know, for educational institutions. I was so much personally against that thing because the National Assembly is there. I believe the executive ought to have sent a memo to the National Assembly if they want a constitutional amendment. This is in line with the Constitution of 1999, is amended. Why go and take 7 billion that we could not afford when our children are on the streets? I think this government has capacity for wrong priorities.
All right. It says the government has capacity for wrong priorities. Going, getting loan, investing in something aside from education when students are on strike. And it feels like deja vu because we've had loan collected going into something aside from settling ASUU strike. As a matter of fact, vehicles were given to Niger Republic and a lot of things that people have been critical of the government.
That replacement has not aged well at all.
Not at all.
I mean, so who's displacing priorities now? Who's keeping children at home now? That didn't age well at all. Who's not honoring agreements? Who's not sitting down? He doesn't. So I remember, I think at the last meeting, the Minister of Education was given a 2-week ultimatum. That ultimatum has long passed. What else is new? No one is saying anything. Nothing is being done. And then their kids are home. And that was written this year. And you see how this thing affects everything. So the students who were jammed this year, what's their fate? I know someone who got admission just when, just shortly before the strike began. And she was supposed to start first semester. Now, this set of students, she has not started first semester. Her jam was for last year, right? So now she hasn't even begun first semester. And then we've written jam, and I think results are out. So there's another set of students warming up for another session. And nothing is happening. And but then these people don't even have their children in schools in the country. Once it is graduation season in schools in the UK, in the US, all over the world, apart from Nigeria, then pictures of them with their children graduating pop up. They pay humongous sums of money in foreign currency to get their children into the schools. So maybe that is why they probably do not care. Same way they do not care about the health sector because they have access to schools, to hospitals abroad. I think it's, you know. So it's really sad. So what's the future for children? So I'm afraid for my, is this what my children will face when they are of university age? Do I want them to go through this, to sit at home for 6 months? You know what it can do to you?
I can understand.
Okay, we do not take issues of mental health seriously. But then the child is supposed to be in school, is not in school. What's he doing? Nothing. Wakes up in the morning, has nothing to do, has nowhere to go, sits down morning till night, there doesn't know when the strike is going to be called off. It's enough to fall into depression. Listens to the news every day, nothing cheering, no cheering news. Oh, government has given ultimatum, 2-week ultimatum. Nothing comes out of it. It's not like ASU members are equally particularly clean. University system has also has its own issues. Students are victimized in public university, you know, in the public university system, you know. So many issues. You have people who have graduated, issues of record keeping. We also need also to put its house in order. If you look at, you know, modern education systems around the world, we are way behind in issues of curriculum, in issues of how lecturers are in facilities. We are just behind on almost everything, Kim. It's sad. How do we make progress this way? How? Okay, so now you now have children and you're not even thinking about yourself. So is even enough for you as an adult to also fall into depression, worrying about the kind of future, what's in store for your children when they are grown? Nothing seems to be working. How do public universities of the country, you know how many millions of students we're talking about, remain at home for months and no one says anything, no one does anything, and we can't seem to find middle ground and find a way of sorting this problem. And this same president, who had criticized past presidents, still knows somehow how to make look for money and buy vehicles from Niger. When the train, the issue of the train line, the rail lines to Niger came up, you know, it was defended. So how did he defend these vehicles he just bought with taxpayers' money? How do you defend this? And then, you know, the, you know, government officials will say, oh no, the president, you know, the president isn't a god. The president is an employee of the citizen. President's office is office of the citizen. You have a right to question the president. Oh, Mr. President, this expenditure, why are we making this expenditure now? Is it in our best interest? But apparently that doesn't, it's not working here. No one can ask questions. No one can oppose proposals which are not in the greater good, it seems. You know, so citizens suffer. And it really is sad.
Really sad.
I'm not directly affected right now, I mean. But it's really sad.
No, every Nigerian should be concerned as to how we rate education.
Because when you think about it, you get a headache instantly.
Well,
lucky NMA has not declared strike yet.
Well, we got NLC some time back in solidarity with ASU, remember? The warning strike and all of that.
Yes,
so they're talking about the model of all of them, of all strikes. But let's hope that this issue will be resolved. It's just really sad that it's dragged on for this long, really. And all sides are saying blame the other person.
It is extremely sad.
Yeah. All right, let's look at another story. And this time around, we're looking at the governor of Kaduna State who stirred up controversy over comments on pro-Peter Obi march in Kaduna. The Kaduna State governor stirred this controversy on Monday when he criticized a claim by a Twitter user that about 2 million people would march in Kaduna in support of Peter Obi, an opposition presidential candidate. Erofi's comment generated hundreds of mixed reactions, with some in support and others castigating the Kaduna governor. Erofi tweeted about 6:27 a.m. that Obi would be lucky to have 200 persons participate in the support march in Kaduna. And the governor posted this in reaction to a Twitter user, one Abdullahi Zarma, who had been calling for 2 million persons to march in Kaduna in support of Peter Obi, the presidential candidate of the Labour Party. No date was picked, however, fixed for the event. But Erufai noted that even if the LP imports supporters from Southeast State for the march, Mr. Obi would not get the number. In Kaduna, not Kaduna Twitter, I hope you get 200 persons on the street, including those imported, that can open their shops on Monday and come with overnight bus. I did laugh. Well, Erufai is one who's been known to stir up controversy every now and again. He was quite vocal and controversial when he was in the opposition in the last administration. And it seems politics is bringing that out. He's been very busy with the insecurity in the state and not quite involved in a lot of things happening on social media. He seems to be catching a breather enough to invest on political issues. But let's go on a quick break, then we'll take on that.
5.1 Nigeria Info. Your mic is always on. Let's talk.
Still here on the roundtable with Emiene Erame helping us with through the big stories. Instead of looking at the ASU strike 6 months in and unsure on how long it's going to drag on for, when it's going to end, and then the controversy stirred up by the governor of Kaduna State, who pretty much had a thought or opinion to share about the proposed 2 million match in Kaduna, and saying, well, if you get 200, it will be a miracle. Kaduna at the moment is an APC state, so he's looking at it from that perspective. And it's also interesting to look at it from another perspective. Is it because of perhaps insecurity, and so a lot of people will not be allowed on the street or not? It'd be nice to see where that goes. But a lot of people who've had so much to say concentrate on the security challenge in the state and leave politics for now. And another interesting part, Emiene, is how is it that Labour Party is now officially the opposition to both the APC and the PDP and every other person?
I was just waiting for you to finish. So I was going to ask, first off, how come Elvis says that his house is literally on fire has time to be chasing rats in the bush? How come? You mean El-Rufai has the time to check some random tweet and respond to that random tweet? Kaduna State is almost always in the news now, and it is not good news. They're either killing 5 people or 10 people in some area, and he himself has had cause to even raise alarm personally.
Yeah, just last week he was talking about the bandit already having stronghold in communities in Kaduna State and forming a parallel government.
Thank you. And this same El-Rufai, as of this morning, he still had time to check out tweets that were talking about Peter Obi. And then again, both the APC and the PDP said Peter Obi has no structure. You know, and they have made Peter Obi so relevant. As far as I'm concerned, the ruling APC and the People's Democratic Party should bury their heads in shame. They have failed Nigerians. And it is because of that failure that Peter Obi has become such a credible candidate and opposition to these people. And they see him as a threat. APC is not going to attack PDP. For instance, you know, the PDP presidential candidates, they are not talking about the APC and the PDP presidential candidates. Don't talk about each other again. No. It seems like they are united. They have one common enemy now, Labour Party and Peter Obi. I don't know. The People's Democratic Party has also failed woefully in providing credible opposition. So no wonder that Nigerians do not want both options. We have 16 years of PDP, and we have had 8 years of APC. I mean, the 8 years of APC have trumped the 16 years of PDP so far. In every sector that the APC campaigned against the PDP, every sector that the PDP seems to have failed, which became a campaign point for the APC, the failure rate of the APC set a new high or a new low, however you want to put it. So, I mean, it's going to take practically a Hercules to sort this problem out, to bring us out of the woods that these two parties have put us in. So how they have made Peter Obi and Labour Party, you know, the official opposition now, this my mind, shows the level to which, you know, they are not ready to change, they are not ready to do anything different, they are not ready to make the dividends of democracy available for Nigerians. They just want more of the old. Otherwise, oh, in this area we didn't do so well, but please give us another opportunity to do better. How is El-Rufai talking about the 200 million? How is that his business? In a state that people do not speak with.
Well, technically, he's the governor of the state, so it's his business.
Oh, well, but I mean, if that's his biggest problem, these are these rallies and the number of people that will attend the rally. His main problem is how he keeps those people who are attending the rally safe. Is Kaduna safe enough for that kind of rally? Not making fun of the people who are coming from the rally and wondering if they are going to reach, you know, make the 2 million or 200, whatever number they have put there. His major issue should be the security of the people in a state that is ravaged by insecurity. It was in the same Kaduna state that a runway was attacked, if I remember correctly. Prior to a few days before the change, that, you know, terrible train attacks, you know, the country has still not, is still battling with. The airport in Kaduna was also attacked by the same terrorists. And that's the same person talking about Peter Obi and his. So that should be your, the least of your problems. It may be your state, yes. Have they got the necessary security in place? So I was thinking,
And when we do actually get to campaign season, I mean, we're well within any political party's right to go out and as long as it's done orderly. If they want to have a rally and it's done orderly, every state, no, there should be no prohibition or inhibition from any quarters when it comes to that.
Exactly. And so that's what you should concentrate on. He has too much on his hands to worry about Peter Obi's numbers. And you know, these people have made Peter Obi hugely popular, both the APC and the PDP. Peter Obi grants an interview, the next thing, everybody is all up in arms. Oh, Peter Obi has done this, Peter Obi has not done this. So we don't even hear anything from the APC or from the PDP. You would think they are not even running.
Well, they are pretty much in the race.
Obviously. Yes, I know. But I mean, you guys already said this guy has no structure. He has no chance of winning. So why is he suddenly...
That part is quite interesting because we're looking at a party and an individual that stayed on that, you know, whole foundation of no structure. It's going to crumble. Yes. It's not going to go beyond social media. And then you get to see mass number of people coming out, a large number of people like Nassau, for example, where the turnout was so impressive from a lot of quarter enough to say, okay, well, it does not translate to vote at the end of the day, which is fact.
They said he did not, exactly, they said he did not have structures. So people are helping him put the structures he needs now in place. Although this was subject to verification, I have seen on social media reports that some people have donated their buildings as party offices for the Labour Party in order to provide some form of structure at the grassroots level. I've seen a few of those pictures accompanying the reports in some states across the Federation. I have also seen people, but the key thing here, which both parties fail to understand and acknowledge. This is what led to PDP's failure in 2015. The dismissal of people's dissatisfaction. That tone deafness that makes them believe they have the structure, they are the sitting government, and so they cannot be unseated, you know, it doesn't matter, they have the structure. That is number one. The belief that, and people are honestly tired. Which is why Peter Obi has become so attractive to the Nigerian people. People have seen what the PDP can do. They're tired. They don't want it. People have seen firsthand now we are currently living the APC reality. It is not a reality that many people want. So right now people are shopping for alternatives. And Peter Obi represents the only person without that baggage for now.
But here is something also that has come up from this Peter Obi. I mean, if you're looking at, and I'm glad that the police is even telling political parties and politicians, caution your supporters, because it seems to be one election that is totally divided based on ethnic line, given the fact that we're looking at some of the major contenders. We're looking at the North, Atiku Abubakar, we're looking at the Southwest, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, we're looking at the Southeast, Peter Obi, in which you get to see comments made and implying that the supporters of a political party are IPOP, particularly with the Labour Party, and all this kind of insinuation. You start to wonder, what are we doing with this campaign? We haven't gotten into campaign proper. Let's hope that when we do get there, that we're going to see real issues discussed from the different political parties. The guest we had on the roundtable said maybe the candidate need to put things for supporters to chew on, to have proper conversation around, because what we get right now are still pedestrian issues that are capable of dividing than addressing our common problem. We do have a common problem. We all agree that education is suffering in Nigeria. Aside from the insecurity which has caused schools to close down in the FCT, public universities are on strike. We have health issues. We have security issue on a very large and disturbing scale, which is disrupting education, disrupting development. We are cash-strapped when it comes to our economy, neck-deep in debt at the moment, and our profile in terms of global indebtedness has gone up. So there are real issues to look at that, unfortunately, we're looking at region. And that takes us to just join quickly, seeing that we're still on the Peter Obi story, where Fulani Group have countered Meyati Allah on Peter Obi, saying that we have gone beyond tribe and we have gone beyond religion. Let's hope that indeed we get to see this manifest into reality. A professional group, Fulani Professional Group, Coalition of Fulbe Professionals in Africa, have distanced themselves from a statement by Alhaji Alhassan Sali, the National Secretary of Meyati Allah Kautahori, who claimed to be, I guess, the candidature of Peter Obi. They said that they will no longer be used for violence and extortion, as tackling the country's issue and election matters have gone far beyond religion and ethnicity, is what they put out in their statement, that we're not going to allow that happen in this election, where we're going to have, you know, regional blocks and groups and union making statements that would imply or seem to represent the entire ethnicity of that region, that it needs to be focused on real issues and going beyond religion and ethnicity. The group enjoined Nigerian to disregard any statement from Eyatiola Kaltari saying the group did not speak for Fulani ethnic group or represent the Fulanis in any way. Al-Hassan, who is the national secretary of Niyati, had in an interview to Daily said the Fulani nation would not support the candidate of the, making a blanket statement like the group represent the entire Fulani nation, which is a distorted narrative also. So you're having another group saying, we need to go beyond this. You do not represent this interest. But if you look at the lot of statement being made on social media, conversation space, it feels like this is so fragmented that people are aligning with region instead of ideology and issues. Is this going to change, hopefully, where we're going to go beyond region and religion to focus on our common denominator, common issues at this point in time?
So the PDP and the APC, sadly, you can't give what you don't have. Have proven that they cannot give what they do not have. They don't have it in them. This particular administration, Nigerians, if you take a poll, you know, have been called critics, let me put it this way, have described this administration as being most divisive. Nigerians are deeply divided right now, along ethnic, along religious lines. And the administration has not tried, you know, to heal this divide. Appointment after appointment by the president, they have been called to be more integrated, to, you know, work on federal character, to obey the federal character principle. That hasn't happened. The recent one, the most recent one, is the primaries of both parties came. So, considering how ethnically and religiously diverse Nigeria is, maybe this was not put to paper, the pen wasn't put to paper, it wasn't a written agreement, but I mean, it was generally accepted or agreed, I think. Many Nigerians believed that after the president had been in the north for the past 8 years, it should return to the south. Now, the APC obeyed up to a point. The PDP totally reneged on that agreement and chose a northern candidate in its primaries. The APC chose someone from the south in its primaries, but did not obey the religious angle, Christian, and that generated some controversy, which is yet to die down. This was dismissed by the party, saying, oh, it's competence we want. But people are saying, no, that competence that you're talking about, does it mean to say that a particular section of this country or this religion have no competence, which has been the cry that people have cried against the Muhammad Buhari's appointment? For instance, in the security architecture, they have been called by groups, people, you know, commentators, analysts, that the composition of the security architecture at the highest level is not reflective of the diversity of the country. Nothing has changed. Same thing here. So you cannot give what you do not have. So I think we need a neutral person now at this point. Not anyone from the two parties, APC and PDP. They do not have it in them.
But that is your opinion. Going by the massive crowd that welcomed Atiku when he visited his hometown in Adamawa State, it shows that there are a lot of people who still think, you know, this is the man for the job.
Oh, of course, definitely. I mean, you said his hometown. And you said earlier that everyone seems to be queuing up behind who they identify as someone from their ethnic group or someone from the religious group. Because let us not pretend about this thing. The first instinct of a human being is to feel safer with what is familiar. So if I, for instance, I see you somewhere, oh, this is Kim, I know Kim. So I'm familiar with you. I can predict you, you know, to a certain level. So I feel safer with you. And I root for you if you're going for whatever, you know, office, or if you're trying to do something. So because I feel that, you know, I'm safer with you. And so I think that is what is playing out. Because, I mean, the country is at an, low, it's at an all-time low on several fronts. On the security front, at the education, you know, on so many fronts. You know, so I think, and I, you know, the only thing I believe that the president can do for us now as a legacy is to ensure that the election is free and fair and the reflection of the will of the people is the only thing, so that people have trust again. Because after the 2016 election, there was trust in the electoral system that an incumbent could win, could lose an election in Nigeria, because that was the general belief that, I mean, if you have the power of incumbency behind you, there's no how you are going to lose an election. But, you know, 2016 saw us changing that belief, and so it reinforced people's belief in the electoral system. If we're able to achieve that in 2023, so people's trust will be rekindled, and so you would know, then power would then return to the people if none of these major actors win, APC and PDP. As difficult as it sounds, as almost impossible as it sounds, as utopian as it sounds, but yes, if that were to happen, then we can start from somewhere. I mean, because there's so much that needs to be fixed. It's not something that is going to happen overnight. Anyone expecting a miracle is in for a real shock. There's no miracle anywhere. It's not going to happen anytime soon. But we would have proven one thing, the same way we have proven, or we have, you know, we've made that a ritual now, the yearly, the 4-yearly election cycle. So if now we are now able to also achieve incumbents losing or incumbent parties losing at the poll, then we can begin to move forward. Then people will know, contestants, parties will know that power truly belongs to the people, and to win you have to work hard. Because no one believes right now that to win you have to work hard. You either have, I mean, that's why there's so much cross-carpeting. So if you lose ticket in party A, you simply drop to party B, and then when you win in party B, if party B is not the ruling party, it's not where it's happening, we jump back to party A, where it's happening, and we are still in business. And you know, and then things will begin to work, and certain policies will begin to be put in place, and then we can maybe cut down the cost of governance, and the average man on the street can begin to maybe have a more decent standard of living, because right now it's not
And former President Olusegun Obasanjo said anyone who says it's working will need his head examined. The facts are plain before us about how the situation of things stands at the moment. Some would say, yeah, there are a lot of global challenge that the world is dealing with at the moment. But yeah, there are those that is just tailor-made for us that we need to address back home in the country. Yeah. And let's just look at one of those stories quickly before we open up the phone lines, which is around the economy, in which the Consumer Price Index, which measures the rate of change in prices of goods and services, surged to 19.64% in July 2022, up from 18.60% in the previous month. The rate is the highest recorded since September 2005. Talking about our inflation rate at the moment. The National Bureau of Statistics said this today in its Consumer Price Index report for July 2022, and the figure is also 2.27 percent point higher compared to the rate recorded in July 2021, which was 17.38%. The development means that the headline inflation rate increased in July 2022 compared to the same month in the previous year. And according to report, increases were recorded in all classification of individual consumption according to purpose division that yields the headline index. They give the breakdown month and month of what that means. So food inflation is 22% as price of bread soars. He added that food inflation rose to 22.02% in July, an uptick compared to 20.60% in June. The price in the food index was caused by increasing price of bread and cereal, food product, potatoes, yam, another tuber, meat, fish oil, and fat. And on a month-on-month basis, the food inflation rate in July was 2.04%. This was 0.01% insignificant decline compared to the rate recorded in June, which was 2.05%, the report says. And they attributed to reduction, the decline is attributed to the reduction in the price of some food items like tuber, maize, garri, vegetable. In analyzing price movement, the report said that Akwa Ibom, Mebo, and Kogi State witnessed the highest price jumps. Meanwhile, Jigawa, Kano, and Borno reduced the slowest rise, or recorded the slowest. It was an increase, but it was slower compared to other states in terms of inflation. So, yeah, we know what this translates to at the end of the day. Rising inflation to push more Nigerians into poverty. The lot of global factors responsible for it, but heads, we're feeling the heat in Nigeria also.
And I mean, this is a heat we shouldn't even be feeling. That's what makes it so sad. You know, considering that at a point government said, oh, focus on agriculture, make us self-reliant. But these things don't come in isolation. You can't be self-reliant in agriculture. Your farmers can't go to their farm. In states like Zamfara, in states like Katsina, terrorists run parallel government. They tax farmers. Farmers have to pay them levies. And these levies are not small amounts of money to be able to access their farms when farming season begins. When the farms are matured, the same farmers have to levy themselves and, you know, to pay another, tax themselves, levy themselves to pay another levy to the terrorists before they can harvest their produce. So, of course, the cost of food items, I mean, we've never had it so bad, though. Really.
Mm.
So you cannot predict. So, and you know, that's, you know, a function of a system that works. The fact that you can predict what next week looks like for you. So if you earn 5 naira, you can plan your 5 naira because you are not going to encounter price jumps. So you know that if you take a train, for instance, from point A to point B, the price of that train ticket is not going to increase next week. Right now, you can't predict. I mean, it's so unstable that you cannot make that prediction in Nigeria. You can buy a box of matches for 1 naira today, and when you go back tomorrow, it's 5 naira.
Mm.
There's nothing you can do about it. And this, you know, the solution is not to introduce a pricing board, I heard some talk around that to regulate. You can't do that. Market forces have to be allowed to work. But then you have to make the environment conducive for them to work. And that's not happening. When these kinds of reports come out, government would usually come out to say, oh no, we're doing this, we're doing that, you know, is this report, it's not there. Usually, like when the Corruption Perception Index comes out, oh, there's so much statements and, you know, conferences around it, and they tell you that, no, it's not true, we're doing this. But what's the effect on the citizen? So you have such and such economic policy. So, for instance, I'll use rice as an example. How much were we buying rice in 2015? How much are we buying rice now? You know, there was that time there were all those pyramids and government said they were doing this and they were doing that. So a bag of rice, the one that is the locally produced rice, so I'll use the one I buy, it's 31,000 naira today. If you get to an outlet that sells at wholesale, so the least you're probably getting is 30,000. That is the minimum wage.
Hmm.
How can someone buy a bag of rice with his, you know, entire salary? Beans has gone out of the roof. Garri, which used to be the poor man's food, is no longer the poor man's food. The most recent one is bread. And I can go on and on and on, Kim. It's telling on families, you know. People are struggling to survive. This I can tell you for a fact. Families that have children right now in school, they are struggling. Only very few families are struggling now. Fact.
Mm.
People are struggling to feed. People are struggling to get basics for their families. And there's no hope in sight. There's no hope that anything is going to get better. There's no hope that, you know, there's a new policy that is going to at least make things, maybe next farming season, there's no hope. So a set of 12 yams before last year were going for maybe 2,000. It is like 4,000 naira now. How many people earn enough to afford this? And, you know, it's in family economies, it's recurrent expenditure that you bought a set of yams this week does not mean you will not buy next week, because children are eating every day. You will still buy next week. How do people cope? The minimum wage that was increased, how has the implementation been?
All right.
Are federal civil servants, are they paying? And how are the states faring? How are people who work in the private sector faring? Are they paying? And it's just sad all round.
All right, Ebene. Well, when it comes to price of food and all of that, it should concern every single person, because purchasing power of a lot of Nigerians have weakened over the years. Yeah. All right. We need to open up the phone lines, but there's a little challenge, Emine, seeing that we're having a little problem with our phone line, and so we can't put it on conference. It means that, sadly, you can't hear our callers when they share their thoughts with us. So we might have to wrap up with you and then get the calls coming afterwards. Any concluding thoughts you want to leave us with?
Yes. Last word for the ruling party. They still have a little opportunity to do better. There's still a window, that we still have a few months. And so if serious effort is put in, they can do something about security. I strongly believe that they can do something if there's a political will to make a little change that Nigerians can feel. That can still happen. On the issue of inflation, because that affects everyone directly, the issue of security, the issue of...
Inflation.
This affects people directly. You step out of your house, immediately you're stepping out, you're met with price increases in almost everything from transport to the food you eat to the water you drink. So it affects everyone. And I believe that at this point, as critical as things are, I think it will be in the best interest of the country and of the party as well if they reach out to people they think they can help. Because apparently, what they have, the team that is presently running the economy, running the security architecture, it seems to be a bit overwhelmed. So at this point, I think Nigeria should be first, and they should reach out to anyone they think can help across whatever divide, party, religious, ethnic, whatever the divide is. Reach out to anyone you think can make this better and see what can be done to improve the lives of Nigerians. I think Nigerians will be happier for it and would, you know, be happier that you left a good legacy of reaching out to people you think could help.
All right.
Because right now, I mean, this isn't working.
All right. Thank you so much, Emine. We appreciate your time on the roundtable with us. Sad that you can't stick around for the phone calls, but hopefully we'll make it work next time you're on the roundtable with us.
Thank you for having me, Tim.
Thank you so much. Emine is a journalist, editor, allwomen.com.ng. And you can go follow up her reportage on women and gender-based issues on All Women. Thank you, Emine, and enjoy the rest of your day. Don't let the rain slow you down.
No, I'm going to
write
the rain. Have a nice
week. All right, you too. Okay, let's go to the phone line, 0700-951-0000. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir? Please turn off your radio.
Hello?
We can hear you, sir. Go ahead.
My name is Abubakar.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hello?
We can hear you, Abubakar. Go ahead.
Thank you, Kimberly. Kudos to your guest. It's a good discourse. The governor of Kaduna State, Erupai, is making the presidential candidate of Labour Party more popular. He was shocked that the people that assemble for the Labour Party solidarity exercise or walkout, it will be people who have suffered victimization of arbitrary demolition from Governor Erupai, terminating people appointment, teachers, a lot of misrule by Erufai. Those people are victims of banditry, kidnapping in Kaduna. Will be part of those who come as a form of non-violent protest. They will form the bulk of Labour Party rally in Kaduna. There is some people will confirm this later to you, Kimberly. And for the ASU strike, the striking lecturer, the next agenda for them is to extract a deal from the Labour Party candidate and PDP candidate, because the APC have nothing to offer. They have nothing to offer. They should extract a deal from two parties, Labour and PDP. In the event that one of them make it to power, if they derail or they renege on that promise, they will get their support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's hear another caller. Hello.
Hello, Akin.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Stanley.
Welcome, Stanley.
Yeah, talking about this inflation of 18, as at end of June, it was 18.6%. I don't know at the moment what it is. Can't you people get these APC people for us to ask them questions on what they are doing? Because it seems like everything about this administration is faulty. Something is wrong. You know that they are not listening to the people, or they don't go to market. I'm talking about P2B and Aerofire. They are making P2B very, very relevant. And he is not even responding. He has begged his people, his followers, not to join issues with anybody. They have to provide solution to the people, to Nigerian problem. That is their target, according to him. So, I think APC and PDP, they are making him popular. And I bet you, I tell you, if election is conducted today, that is credible election. INEC being neutral. Labour will beat every one of them.
All right, that's Stanley's take there. We'll take more calls after the news. Joy is already seated for the news at the top of the hour. More comments after the news. Stay with us.